Well, the tribe's been asking me about Rob Herseth. Where's he gone to? The new media mogul, and we'll get onto that in a moment, Rob. Donald Trump, does Rob still like him as much as he did? What does he think about all these crazy politicians in South Africa claiming credit for the VAT increase that wasn't? Well, the man's with us. You look nice and relaxed. New body hair, or what's it, facial hair? Is that the new look, the new Herseth look?
Well, I just drove down from the Cedarburg. Katie and I and the kids and a whole lot of friends were up there together for a long weekend. It was fabulous. I mean, we were the borderline Karoo Cedarburg. And a couple of the white hairs coming in, red, white, yellow, it's all coming out. I didn't shave.
No, it's a wonderful to have a little bit of a break and you come back rejuvenated, as we do, I suppose, as a whole nation. But jeepers, don't these public holidays get to you, though?
There are too many of them, Alec. It just seems like we have one every other day. I mean, we have unemployment, and then the workers, I don't think they're being put under that much stress to have so many public holidays. I've never looked at it, but I'm sure we have probably more public holidays than most countries in the world.
Well, it's directly correlated to our cabinet size, I guess.
That crazy, makes sense.
All right, tell us about Donald Trump. Now, I've had a number of people saying Rob likes Donald Trump. And in fact, I had a friend catching me over the weekend, and she's a very successful business person. She owns they own a restaurant and a pretty big farming operation. And she said to me, are you a Donald Trump supporter? To me. And I said, hey, you can't ask me that question because I don't support one or the other. I'm here as a platform. She says, oh, what does Rob think? What does Rob think? Because I love Donald Trump, is what she said.
I agree with her. I think the counter-revolution is taking place, and it's taking place at warp speed. So, you know, the famous 100 days are coming up any minute now. And the 100 days are not relevant for any other sense than it's just a media creation. And I think FDR, Franklin Roosevelt, created it just to say, you know, the country's in such bad shape, but in 100 days I've done the following things. And Jacinda Ardern, that lefty of New Zealand that fortunately they got rid of, also basically said, this is what I've done in 100 days. And she did it in less than a minute. It was very impressive, actually. This is what I've done. And ran through it. But let's have a look at what Donald Trump has done in his first 100 days. 100 days only. He's got a lot more 100 days to come. It's hugely impressive. Hugely impressive. And forget the media, the hysteria that comes out of the left. I mean, they're going to complain about everything he does because they're the left and that's what they do. And, you know, the media, the pushback, the hostility. Trump is ecstatic. Look at the man. I think he's living his best life. He's positive. He's happy. His team are absolutely in sync. And if we start at the border, he was elected on a number of issues, but one was closing the border. The border is now 90% closed. 10,000 people a day were pouring through the U.S. border under that useless Biden, and the border is closed. Now, Trump has still got to deal with the, I think it's 11 million or 12 million people that Biden let through the door that have spread out all over America, hiding out, applying for Social Security grants, cards, benefits. You know, that's a whole nother matter, and he's got to obviously deal with that. But the border is secure. In 100 days, he's done it. Second, let's look at the energy. On energy, there's no more net zero. Al Gore's been completely discredited, as he should be. You know, he's one of the greatest hoaxes that's been placed on humanity over the last 20 years. And, you know, Appalachian coal fields are being reopened, re-energized. There's continued increased fracking. The Americans are now sending LNG to Europe, which Europe desperately needs. The price of oil has come down. I think it's at $60 a barrel. And the energy market in America has never been in better shape. It's drill, baby, drill. And this re-energization of the energy market and dissing of the green nonsense has taken place in 100 days. It's extraordinary. And for people that worry about the strategic reserve, I believe the American strategic reserve is actually filling up. I don't have the detail on it, but I've heard that it's actually in much better shape. So third, DEI. DEI was just, you know, an an issue that Donald hated. And he hates South Africa because South Africa is DEI in motion. And across America, DEI has been killed. And I was listening to a great podcast where somebody said it's like Rip Van Winkle, America. Everyone's woken up suddenly and go, what were we thinking? What were we thinking for DEI of putting a person's skin color ahead of merit? You know, it's exactly what Martin Luther King didn't want to happen. And under Obama and Biden, it was introduced. But it's been swept away in a meaningful way. And I mean, that's another incredible thing that Donald's done. And the law is on his side. You know, Donald Trump has the law on his side on DEI. Then we look at the stock market. I mean, the stock market's been very volatile. People panic. Oh, you know, Trump's killed the stock market. Well, the reality is that was true for probably a week, 10 days. It's come right back. So, you know, everyone panics. Look at the bond market. Look at the stock market. Well, guys, calm down. It's not 1 week by 1 week. And on the trade and tariff situation, which is probably the most interesting of all, you know, everybody, including The Economist. I've been an Economist subscriber for 40-something years. And The Economist has gone pathetically anti-Trump. Now, I know they are the liberalized, you know, globalization, free trade paper. And that's, The Economist was founded on the back of that. I get it. But they're so anti-Trump, they can't see the light of day. And I'm tempted to cancel my subscription, but I know I won't. I love The Economist. And, you know, Trump came out with his across-the-board tariffs, which was firing a shot into the air to say, I am serious. I will make these things happen. And they were proportionate. I think that's an important word. They were proportionate tariffs. And what has happened is 70 countries have come to the table and said to America, we're happy to do a deal. We want to trade with America. We're happy to sit down, work it out, and do a deal. And those 70 countries include the UK, Italy, Japan, you know, some serious, serious players. And I think in a matter of weeks, they're going to be announcing, America's going to be announcing deals that have been done with serious economies like the ones that I've mentioned to do deals. And it's going to be an absolute boom. And everyone will realize that it's art of the deal. Donald said, you know, I'm serious about tariffs. Let's do a deal.
Interesting. Yeah, you've just rattled them off there. And I didn't give you any advanced warning. I never do. I mean, our conversations are very spontaneous. So clearly it's something that you've put a lot of thought into. Rob, what about the South African ambassador to the United States? I know it's important to us. They don't really give a toss over there. But Msibisi Jonas is a good guy. We know he's a good guy. He stood up against the Guptas. Yeah. And he did some silly things. He said some silly things about Trump a while back. But that's really the only blemish on his record. He's not a crook. And the guys who know him really give him the thumbs up. What's he going to have to do, or what is going to have to happen for the Americans to say, look, okay, we forgive you on that one. Let's do it. Let's work together. Because at least he understands business and he's straight.
I would accept Msibisi Jonas as the ambassador if I was America. I think he's a fundamentally good guy. He should apologize for his comments. You know, for 30 years, since 1994, all the sort of ANC, black podcasters, media commentators have had the moral superiority to say what they want. For 30 years, they've been saying what they want, and no one's pushed back. And just recently, people have pushed back and said, that's not true. You're making it up. Those facts aren't right. And it's good. It's good that there's a pushback. But I hope Trump accepts Jonas as the ambassador. But I still wouldn't meet with him in particular. I wouldn't assign any senior people to meeting with the South African ambassador until South Africa shows they're serious and repeals EWC, drops the case against Israel through ICJ, and starts removing BEE. And South Africa is, under the ANC, a racist, socialist, ineptocratic, and kleptocratic organization. And why should I, as America, take South Africa seriously, even the GNU? I mean, appoint an ambassador, accept Jonas, but I wouldn't even listen to a word he say. He's going to try and explain South Africa. Donald Trump shouldn't be interested in hearing that explanation. Action, not words. Repeal EWC, and then we'll talk, is what he should be saying.
It's a very good point that you make there. If America is now driving aggressively against non-racialism, why would it accept a racist society? And as much as you might find a way of justifying it on redress and whatever, It's still racist. It's still based on the color of your skin. And we know that's bullshit because you get very wealthy black people and very smart black people and very advantaged black people who can just game the system. And by the same token, you get the opposite of people who happen to maybe be colored or white or even Indian. So who knows?
And Alec, if you said to me, Rob, what message would you give to Brent Bozell, the ambassador in waiting, who I think will get confirmed relatively soon? Took quite a few months for the Israeli ambassador to Israel to be confirmed, but I think they're all going to be confirmed soonish. What is my message to him? And what is my message to Donald Trump? One, do not listen to South Africa, have meetings, accept any meetings with anyone until this government repeals EWC, drops the case against Israel and ICJ, and shows a real willingness to remove BEE. No discussions till then. Zero. Okay, not even on trade. Okay? Secondly, move the ambassador from Pretoria to Cape Town. Back the Western Cape. Remove all tariffs on the Western Cape, including on wine, any agricultural product for the Western Cape. Because the Western Cape has been run by the DA, and the DA has not been in favor of EWC, DEI, BEE, ICJ case. I think America should look at the Western Cape and say, you know, we're going to do everything we do into South Africa and Southern Africa through the Western Cape, through Cape Town. We're going to move our ambassador to Cape Town. Forget Pretoria. I'm not interested in talking to the ANC and those muffins. We'll talk to the DA. We'll make the DA our official mouthpiece of what we want to achieve, the benefits we want to give to South Africa, the things we want to see happen in South Africa that the DA has anyway been supporting. And I'd, you know, offer to refurbish Simonstown, but make it much more America-centric. I'd offer to do a massive investment in the port of Saldanha. Everything should be focused on supporting, enhancing the Western Cape. And anyone in the Western Cape, there'd be no tariffs to America, but slam tariffs on the rest of South Africa. Punish the bad guys, embolden the good guys, you know?
It hasn't really been raised. I haven't heard that anywhere. It's much better than Western Cape independence.
Where's first on Biz News?
As per usual. But Rob, I want to ask you about Errol Kruger. Did you ever meet him? Do you know Errol? He passed away over the weekend, and I'll tell you why I wanted to raise it here. I met him in London. He was the registrar of banks in South Africa in the run-up to the global financial crisis and during the global financial crisis. We came out of that pretty well. We didn't have to have banks being bailed out and so on. And anybody on the inside says that's because Errol ran a very tight ship. Anyway, I can say it now because the man has passed, but he gave me some very interesting information about what Marcus Huster was up to, because Errol used to frequent a place called the Millennium Hotel, which I'm sure you know. It's a big hotel in central London in Piccadilly. And at that hotel, Marcus Huster took all of his friends to attend the Rugby World Cup. And Errol said it was absolutely horrific to see how these guys behaved. And that was the first thing for me to start realizing, hang on, all is not well in the state of Denmark. And I started looking at it. But my point was, Errol having passed, he came back to South Africa. He sorted out the Qatari financial services. He's on the Bahrain Central Bank Board. He's on the board of Nedbank, chaired three committees. And I'm wondering what his legacy is. One of, here was an unsung South African. What is Rob Herzog's legacy? What do you want it to be? I know you've got a long way to go still. You've got another 30 or 40 years, one hopes, of contribution to make. But if you were to write your own legacy today, what would you want people to remember you for?
I mean, as a Stoic, and I do try and practice Stoicism, Stoics don't believe in legacies. We really don't. We believe in doing the right thing every day as we live, and then we're gone. But I suppose a legacy is created by others. So, you know, it's up to everyone else to define what my legacy is and isn't. But people often ask me, what's my end game in this capitalist activism, political activism, calling truth to power? The end game is that enough people start standing up and calling out evil, corruption, kleptocracy, ineptocracy, and doing something about it. You know, it's one thing calling out the ANC. It's another thing you read the Zondo Commission, you realize nothing's been done. Nothing. Zero accountability. But I think at a point where I feel more than enough people are standing up and calling out the ANC, MK, EFF, people like Imtiaz Suleiman, people like Julius Malema, the bad guys, with no fear of retribution, and things actually start to get done, and it starts to define itself in the municipals and the national election, which, as Franz Cronier so accurately says, is happening. It's democracy in process. My job's done, and I'll just quietly step back into the we're not in the shadows, but into the sunlight by the pool. And I think, you know, I'm not looking for a statue. I'm not looking for awards. I'm looking for anything. There's nothing in it for me. No financial rewards, no ego rewards. I would just be happy to see South Africa heading in the right direction and know that maybe I've moved the needle on the way. And I really mean that. My wife would be thrilled. My friends would be thrilled. My business partners would be thrilled if I stopped doing what I was doing. But I think we are beginning to move in the right direction. And I do think that I helped make that happen.
Undoubtedly. 3.5 years ago, when you made that speech at the BizNews conference, up to that point, nobody was prepared to lift their head above the parapet. I was to say nobody, but just about nobody. And certainly nobody in the manner with which you lifted your head. And you can now see it. It's no longer, people are no longer scared to speak truth to power, but there's a heck of a long way to go still, Rob. So I don't think you're going to be retiring from that anytime soon.
Do you know, Alec, what makes me laugh is I know I was the first to publicly call ANC voters and members of the ANC morons, and people were really upset with me. They said, you cannot do that. That's disgusting. And then I talked about the clown cabinet and the clowns, but more and more people are using morons and clowns. I know it had an impact, even if you look at it as that is the KPI.
What about organized business? Now, we at BizNews are not exposed to organized business. We have different revenue streams. We don't need to kowtow to the advertising rants that sadly too many in the media are enslaved to. But how's their reaction been to you?
They don't take my calls, Alec. They don't want to hear from me. They don't want to see me. They know. They've been cowards. They know they hide behind these organizations and hide behind people like Martin Kingston, and they do their bit. You know, they feel that they're doing a lot. They're actually doing very little. And this saying, politics and business should never mix, I think was created by business so that they didn't have to, you know, get involved, get their hands dirty. And somebody said to me the other day, I've never met a politician business didn't like. You know, it's a cruel way of saying it, but the reality is the following, that businesses, you know, the chief executive of a business has PIC as an investor, has BEE partners, has DEI people on the board, all useless, has hundreds of thousands of employees, is under huge pressure economically, macro and micro, and they're surrounded. They've got trade unions. It's very, very hard for a chief executive of a business like that. That owns the salary, that has equity options, and that has to bring home the bacon to their family, to have the courage to stand up and call out Cyril and the ANC and say, you guys are absolutely corrupt and useless. How do they do that? I mean, they've been captured. They've been captured. I don't see them standing up. Well, they kind of hope someone else will take the heat. I mean, when Johan Rupert stood up in 2016 and 17 and stood his ground, nobody supported him. No one stood up with him. You know, oh, he's doing it, then we don't have to, is their attitude. But it's a rare chief executive that wants to play golf with me and hang out with me these days.
And Rob, how's your media enterprise coming along?
Okay, so the Truth Report was born of an idea a couple of months ago. I was chatting to Ronaldo Hoss and Nick French and Gareth Cliff. And all of us said, wasn't it interesting that Donald Trump, to get elected, effectively avoided mainstream media other than Fox News. He avoided the leftists' mainstream media completely. and he went for the podcasters, and he did a 3-hour interview with Joe Rogan. I listened to the whole thing. And the end of the 3 hours, I had two revelations. One was, wow, a lot of things I thought about Donald Trump, I don't think about him anymore. What an interesting, real human being. But secondly, what a powerful medium podcasting. 3 hours, you really get to know someone. It's not sound bites. You know, any question he had to answer. And it was live. And then I had a look at the podcast market in America. And of the, you know, the top 20 podcasters, 19 are center-right. So mainstream media dominated the airwaves, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, all leftist, CNN. But in the podcast world, they were all center-right, you know, and many of them had been deplatformed. And, you know, basically Elon Musk saved them by buying Twitter, turning into X. And when you look at South Africa, you know, you've got all these dreadful leftist publications or pro-ANC publications like AOL, News 24, Daily Maverick does attack the government, but they're fundamentally leftist and anti-business. You know, where is the center? Well, in my view, the center's Biz News, but where's the center right? The center right are these extraordinary podcasters, you know, who care about free markets, who care about democracy, rule of law, who want all of South Africa to benefit. And they are Concerned Citizen, Pumlazi Majozi, Ronaldo Gross, Byron Shepherd, Gareth Cliff, you know, Colonel Chris Wyatt. I'd go on and on and on. There are about 25 of them, all independent voices. And the Truth Report's pulling them together under one umbrella. We've fully funded, and the people that have invested, including myself and Warren Weekie and others, have said it's an ideological investment. We're doing it to save South Africa. But if we make money, we make money. And we launch in 3 weeks. Nick French has done a huge amount of work, and Byron Shepherd. Shout out to them, and Gareth Cliff. And that's what it is. It's just amplifying a narrative, amplifying a voice, and giving people some choice.
It's so interesting the way that you framed it there, because it is undoubtedly the media does tend to attract idealists. People come out of university, they want to change the world, but of course they come with the ideas that they've been given there. And then as you get a little bit older, you might see that there's another side to life. But if you're already structured in, if you like, legacy media, it's very difficult to break out of that. So, well, we're going to watch with a lot of interest, and we're also going to watch with a lot of interest your closing address. I've decided on that, Rob. You're going to do the closing address at the Biz News Investment Conference in September. Thanks for agreeing to come along. I'd love you to pull everything together. You do feel that we're still uninvestable in South Africa, but maybe after the conference, you might feel a little different. So that's why I thought, let's get Mr. Hirsov to do that closing address. So all cool.
I'd be honored.
11th.
I'd be honored too, Alec. Thank you. What an honor. Thank you.
So Rob Hirsov will be at the investment conference. We were going to have a panel, but I think you're a far better draw card than a panel, and a much more interest in that. And as always, our Tuesday, I mean, we've given our Tuesdays with the holidays and everything else, but we'll be back every fortnight on a Tuesday. If I didn't, Rob, I'd have Biz News Tribe protesters outside my home. So thanks for, for being with us and agreeing to engage with the community, and look forward to the next time. Rob Hirsov.
And I love being part of the tribe. Thank you.
Rob Hirsov is a capitalist activist, or the capitalist activist. I'm Alec Hogg from Biz News.